don't know why I don't take my own advice. I don't know why I don't take my own advice, guys. I mean, I told everybody, lock in Boogie if Embiid doesn't play. I said, Drummond, great matchup against the Celtics front court. He's been on a rebounding tear. I said, Yogi Ferrell's probably going to get 36 minutes. He's min price. I think you should lock him in. And I think I also said Covington is kind of a must play if Embiid is out. I didn't play any of those guys. I didn't play any of them. I'm gonna blame my 2 year old. He can take the fall for this one. He's selfish. He's needy. He's constantly asking for macaroni and cheese. And he's going to take the fall for me on this one. No, man. You know what? Good night. Good night. What's up, guys? This is Sean Kane, Lineup Logic Podcast, the NBA DFS podcast, bringing you lineup construction ideas for the NBA DFS slate on FanDuel. No, man, I can't blame the kid. It's my own fault. Honestly, I wasn't creative. I got locked on LeBron. I got locked on Big Cat. I got locked on Wiggy. I got nervous because there's short slate. I just wasn't being creative. So that's really my problem with yesterday's slate. Not to mention, man, Joel Embiid didn't even play. All that Mark Morrison, return of the Mac, no Embiid on the night. Absolute bummer. Boogie goes bananas. Anyway, it is January 31st. Without further ado, I would like to please announce the winner of the Trust the Process Joel Embiid less Joel Embiid free roll, the winner of a beautiful new 76ers Trust the Process t-shirt. Let's go ahead and give a congratulatory round of applause to Shanerky? Shaner? Shaner KY? Maybe it's Kentucky? Maybe it's Shaner KY. Maybe it's Shaner KY. Anyway, congratulations. Rolled last night, coming into that last game with a little bit of Conley and a little bit of Zebo, and did work for him. Great score. Great lineup. So you, my friend, are going to be the proud owner of a Trust the Process tee. I mean, that's nice. That is nice. Second place was my man Red Mamba. Very nice line as well. And he was trying to hold with Conley at the end there, but just couldn't quite get it done. Very exciting. Very thankful for you guys for entering. Please do write a review if you get the chance. And hopefully we will be able to see one of those again. Enjoy the t-shirt. But we got to move on to tonight. So in the next hour, we're going to preview the night to come in the NBA with spreads. We'll go through injury news, followed by a breakdown of players to target on the slate upcoming. Before we do that, let's go through a quick recap of some of the plays from last night. One of these nights. Okay, so I mentioned to you guys already that, you know, we called a lot of these quality plays on the pod. I didn't really play them all. I didn't roster them all. But Yogi Ferrell goes 10x. Absolutely excellent, excellent work by Yogi Ferrell. You know, luckily, Mike Conley did great work, as did Gorin. Both did nice things in their games, as we expected. You know, Seth Curry, again, pretty strong night. Hit value, you know, and actually went for 7x. LeBron, I don't know. I mean, dude, the Cavs lost to the Mavs. Like, is this, are the Cavs bad? Should we be nervous? Maybe it's just Yogi Ferrell. maybe Yogi Ferrell is going to turn around that Mavs season and watch out. Wiggy did great. Wiggy did great because of overtime, though. He and Big Cat both added like 6 or 10 points in overtime. They just took over and went to town against the Magic in overtime, which, you know what, there's absolutely no reason that a game should have even been close, but the Magic playing hard, getting scrappy in there. Channing Frye, great work, Channing Frye. Very proud of you. Exceeds value. You know, and Big Cat, like we said, he did fine. You know, on the I talked about this, by the way, was a main slate lineup that I threw out. My all day lineup kind of went to shit when the news about Embiid was out. I wasn't gonna throw together something really competitive in the free roll. I just kind of threw something together with a couple plays that I wanted to see how they were going to do, because I wasn't actually very interested. You know, I wasn't going to take down the freaking listener free roll. What kind of host am I? You know, I'm a nice guy. Anyway, but you know, some good plays. I definitely paid for my permanent fade of Dion Waiters. I am definitely not following my own advice on min price point guards, but there's some interesting lessons here. Okay, so there's always interesting lessons, right? The interesting lessons are, get off what you're comfortable. Josh said this the other day, right? Like he said on the pod, like, don't look for the same things all the time. Don't look for affirmation bias. Like, make decisions in different, you know, that you aren't comfortable with. I'm not comfortable playing Andre Drummond. Like, I'm never comfortable playing Drummond. I just don't play him very much. Last night was a clear-cut opportunity to play Drummond on a short slate. I didn't play him. You know, the other rule we talk about, lock in value. A point guard who is min price is not someone you can afford to fade. You know, if they're going to get starters minutes, and this is the truth, they touch the ball so often, they're so involved with every play, you cannot fade a value point guard. It's just stupid. You know, and there's lessons here. You got to learn from these kinds of things. So don't fade a value point guard. Make decisions that you're not usually comfortable with. You know, and what I did was I constructed lineups that I'm pretty comfortable with. Again, main slate, 300, okay? Fine. Okay, great. Hit 300 again. You win some small money, but you want to be able to learn from your lineups and, you know, consistently improve. And those are the kinds of things that, you know, I'm learning from today. Good night. Overall, not a bad little slate, fun little slate of games. But let's go ahead and dive into the games for tonight. Okay, another kind of short slate. We've got, not short, I guess, seven game slate, or six game slate. Yeah, so, you know, not a medium slate. First game of the night, we got Knicks at Wizards. 220 total in this one. Wizards favored by 8 at home. Derrick Rose not likely to play in this one. He's the only significant injury news, which obviously throws Brandon Jennings into the lineup and throws a massive usage bump to Melo. So you look for high ownership on those two guys, definitely in play. And then we've got New Orleans at Toronto. Interesting matchup here. No major news in this one. Toronto favored by 8 at home, but I don't know. I mean, New Orleans playing really well. 215 total. I think I just said that. 215 total, favored by 8 at home. We'll see. That line might move if we know that Anthony Davis is going to play. Toronto's definitely the better all-around team, but the way New Orleans has been scoring lately, you got to kind of think New Orleans can hang in there at least. Sacramento at Houston. No major injury news in this one to report. On the Sacramento, this is their fourth game in 5 days. They added that makeup game with Philly tonight. I'm recording tonight. Monday night. They added the makeup game with Philly. This is just an insane thing for a professional basketball team to have to do. I mean, you try to avoid teams that are playing 3 out of 4, and right now Sacramento is at the end of 4 out of 5 on the road again at Houston. They got on the plane coming out of Philly tonight to get down to Houston for a game tomorrow. Houston coming off a couple days of rest here. Then you've got Oklahoma City at San Antonio. No major injuries beyond the Pau Gasol is out, which obviously puts David Lee in the starting lineup. And then Enes Kanter, of course, is out, which kind of splits the minutes between DeMontis Sabonis and Jeremy Grant. So kind of hard to really figure out where the value comes without any Kanter. Big fan of the pod, Kanter, or excuse me, Enes Kanter is a big fan of our podcast. I love Enes Kanter, so I can't wait for him to come back. Then we got Charlotte at Portland. Portland favored by 4 at home, 215 total in this one. Should be actually a pretty competitive game. Mo Harkless is back. Jeremy Lamb might be cleared to play. The only other injury that you got to keep your eye on is Cody Zeller. Cody Zeller is likely out. He's doubtful, questionable, doubtful. Spencer Hall is in play there at Portland. And then you've got Denver. Denver at LA. A couple different injuries in this one to kind of keep an eye on. D'Angelo Russell got cleared by doctors to play. He is a kind of a wait and see game time decision. Emmanuel Mudiay got a positive decision as well. 228 total, highest total on the night, beyond Sacramento, Houston. Emmanuel Mudiay got cleared and is going to travel with the team, might play. I don't know. You know, the nice thing is hopefully, I mean, I hope Mudiay and Russell both sit. Then it opens up Jameer Nelson and Jordan Clarkson in what is a plus matchup for both sides. You have two really nice priced guys. They're both at 5,100. That's what I hope. But I don't know. Obviously, Nikola Jokic still out there. Jokic is out. That is a big time for Kenneth Faried. The one thing to keep an eye on as well in the Denver side is Wilson Chandler still nursing that sore neck, which has really pushed a lot more minutes Gallinari's way. So you like Gallo in this situation for sure. All right. Let's go ahead and jump into the breakdown and identify some players that we love. Okay, moving into the lock and load segment, I'm going to sort through the studs and talk up what you need to know about all the different studs to try and help you position by position to see which studs you want to throw into your lineups. So at point guard, we've got Westy on the slate. Westbrook, obviously, always in play. You love Russell Westbrook at 12-2. That's actually a pretty reasonable price. He's kind of taken a bump for the San Antonio game. He played San Antonio twice. Last year, he scored 55-plus points. So his history against San Antonio, not bad. Honestly, I have no idea who on the Spurs plans to stop him. Like, think through, I mean, I guess it has to be Kawhi, right? I mean, you have to think that they take Kawhi and they put him on Russ and they basically say, okay, listen, the rest of our team defense is good enough to shut down the rest of your offense. As long as Kawhi as an individual defender can limit you, Russell Westbrook, then we should be okay. And they're right. The rest of that offense, excuse me, just yawned. The rest of that offense really can't do much without Russ. And so you got to think that Kawhi will try to shut down Russ in this one. I don't really know how this game is going to go. I just don't really see, having watched OKC on Saturday against Cleveland, they didn't look sharp. They didn't look like they had a lot of pace. You know, they had Westy, obviously, but like Oladipo just kind of disappears sometimes. And it just kind of is, I don't really know what that team needs right now, but Russ is obviously in play. He's always in play. John Wall is really nice as well. He is there and he's at 10-2, I believe. 10-5 is a really high price for John Wall, but he's got a plus matchup with the Knicks. We've been targeting the Knicks all year long for their defense. Honestly, though, I'm kind of fading this game because of the way the Wizards are playing versus the way that the Knicks are playing right now. And on the road, too. The Knicks are on the road. The Wizards play so well at home, and Carmelo does not play well on the road. So, like, you get a subpar Carmelo on a Knicks team that isn't that good anyway without Derrick Rose on the road against the Wizards, where the Wizards are, like, lights out. And the Wizards are super hot right now. I just, like, there's a scenario in which this is, like, a 16-point deficit at the half. You know, it doesn't seem like a good situation to me. The only way that this gets really a lot better for the Knicks is if all of a sudden Porzingis wakes up out of that funk, but I don't know when Porzingis is going to wake up, and I wish he would, because, like, I fucking love Porzingis, and I want to play him so bad, and he just is not doing anything, and I can't wait for him to wake up, because now his price is depressed, and once he gets back, he's back, but I just don't know if he's injured. I don't know what it is. Maybe he misses Latvia. Like, Latvia in the winter is beautiful. I had a buddy in high school who was from Latvia. He was a baller. He shot the three, dude. Giannis. He could ball. His name was Jan. Giannis. We called him Jan. Yeah, dude. He was great. So those Latvian ballers, man, don't sleep on them. All right, at shooting guard, it's no real surprise here. You got Jimmy Harden on here. The Kings, like I just said, 4 games in 5 days, and they're just hemorrhaging production to the wing. Okay, specifically the three, like, they're just getting destroyed by large athletic wings. And, like, Paul George went 7x, Covington went 7x. They're just getting killed by shooters, and Harden is going to kill them as well. He feels like a lock. He's got a career average of 52 FanDuel points against them the last 2 years. You know, he only went for 48 against them in December, but the reality is his production is up these days. He probably had some Rudy Gay defense back then, which Rudy Gay was the only size that they had on the perimeter. And now it's, you know, a combination of Garrett Temple and Aaron Aflalo. So, yeah, I feel pretty good about James Harden versus Aaron Aflalo. Kings are just beat up and tired, and they're not playing defense. They're not closing out. The second half of the game today against Philadelphia, they just could not stay with it. You know, Boogie comes out gangbusters. Philadelphia just had more bodies to run out there. They just run out the bodies. They keep it fresh. You know, Kings just don't have any legs. You know, it's a high total. I think this line moves probably. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if before tip you see Houston favored by... you know, favored by double digits. Honestly, like, if I could bet right now, I'm taking Houston to cover, no question, at home. You know, no, there's no one to guard Boogie. We'll talk about Boogie in a second, who is just a killer of men. Just my favorite. He's my favorite person. I don't care what you say about his character. The character conversation is for the birds. When a guy can ball like that, I don't need character, okay? Michael Jordan lost billions of dollars gambling. We don't need character from Michael Jordan. He just had a nice smile. Boogie just doesn't know how to smile. He just doesn't know how to smile. If he could smile, people would like him. He just doesn't smile. He just makes that scowly, like, I want to eat you face, which I personally prefer that. Anyway, so I like a lot of the Rockets. Specifically the low-priced Rockets. Eric Gordon is not really that interesting to me just because he's got a terrible floor right now. Same with Ariza. But like Beverly or Decker, they're priced down. They're interesting. Ryan Anderson is interesting just because he's a hot shooter. You know, all kind of like, you could have any Rockets in your tournament lineups basically to just try and figure out who it is that's going to hit the three, and with the exception of Beverly, of course, who it is that's going to hit the three, and, you know, you're going to probably land one of them. but I'm not going to play all three of them. And for that reason, I may not play any of them except for Harden. All right, at small forward, you've got two high-priced options. You've got Carmelo at 8-5 and Kawhi at 9-6. I like Melo at 8-5. You know, I just think you can't fade the usage bump. He gets a whole 5% usage bump without Derrick Rose. That's crazy. I mean, he had 50 points against the FanDuel points against the Wizards last time they played. That game stayed competitive too, so I don't really know what it is. Maybe Melo knows how to play the Wiz or whatever, but you know, his price is kind of inflated, which I don't love. 85K for a guy who might get blown out, honestly. Because that overtime game with the Hawks, it jumped like, I think it jumped 6K or $600, excuse me. I mean, he's kind of a must play. I feel like in some respect, you know, for the usage bump and the situation, you kind of see him as a must play. Definitely over Kawhi, because Kawhi's price got inflated by the weekend of like really good games. And he's just not hitting value recently. Like, he's getting you 30 some odd points. Like, I could be totally wrong with my Kawhi fade. Like, he could totally bounce back tomorrow against, you know, Russ. Just kind of put Russ away. But it's very possible that they shut down Russ and the rest of the Thunder go with them. And then the Spurs just kind of run away and hide with it. And Kawhi wouldn't have to play the fourth quarter, and that's not what I want out of Kawhi Leonard. We've talked about that a lot. Power forward, it's Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis at 11-2. The question is always, when do you play Anthony Davis? Sunday was amazing. Good matchup. He was priced at 10-8. That was such a good situation to play him. And, of course, he did amazing things in that game. His price is back up above 11K, but he does have a decent game with Toronto. Like, I actually think this game is one of the more competitive games on the night. You know, if you compare it to like the Washington game or the Sacramento game, I actually think that the Toronto-New Orleans game will actually be pretty competitive. You know, and it's because I don't know how they guard Anthony Davis, to be completely honest with you. I'm not really sure. I mean, maybe it's Damari Carroll, maybe it's Lucas Nugera, maybe it's Patrick Patterson. I have no idea, but it all feels like a mismatch. You know, Carroll is a little bit too slow. Patterson is definitely too slow. Nogueira is the best physical match, but he's a rookie. You know, I don't know. He seems healthy. He got 40 minutes in the last game. He hasn't been on the injury report. We know he's risky, but you know, that always depresses ownership. He's priced to hit 56 FD points. He's done that more than 20 times this year. I think it's a competitive game. And here's what's interesting. He's coming off rest, and he's better against Eastern Conference teams. I don't know. If you need a reason to play Anthony Davis, if you want to play Anthony Davis, there's your reason. He's better against the Eastern Conference. And he's priced fine. He can be as high as 12K, so you're good with that. All right, moving on to center. I mean, it's kind of like, what else do you want me to say? I don't know what kind of DFS podcast that would be if I didn't talk about DeMarcus Cousins. The man is not human. He is unbelievable. Tomorrow night, he's priced at 11-4 against a Houston team that has been pretty bad against the center recently. Bottom 10 in the league, DVP against the center. You know, you always love Boogie. He's always in play. I don't like him, like, because I said, you know, four games, 5 days. I don't know what they're going to do with Harden. It could get to be a blowout. And you know what? Honestly, like, you don't want to burn this guy out and play him, you know, 40 minutes in a blowout. Who knows? And they also have a lot of bodies to throw at him. You know, between Harold, Capella, and Nene, they have 15 fouls to throw at Boogie. You know, and that's what it is. That's honestly what it is. And Nene has rested, so Nene will probably start, and Nene will body him. You know, he's not going to do anything serious because Embiid did work against Nene and Capella and Boogie. And Harold. But, like, they could just hack him, slow him down. wear him out, you know, try and stretch the game, you know, take him out of the game just basically and make the rest of the Kings beat them, which isn't going to happen. So, you know, it's really not a question of like, should you play Boogie? The question is for me now, like where does Boogie go? Like, I want Boogie on a playoff team. I want him on a playoff team. I don't think it's going to happen because I think that for whatever reason there's this loyalty in Sacramento towards him, even though it's bad for him, like to continue to be at this dysfunctional franchise that clearly can't win. Like, where does he go? Honestly, for me, it's the Wiz and Charlotte. I want him in the Eastern Conference. There's more space over there for bigs. First of all, he's the most dominant big. As soon as he goes to the East, he's the most dominant big in the East. And he is the most dominant big in the game, period. But he's definitely the most dominant big in the East. He might even be the second most dominant player in the East behind LeBron. That's interesting to think about. You know, like, think about that. Who else in the East is better than LeBron and Boogie? I would love to see him go to Washington. John Wall, they could beat the Cavs. That team beats the Cavs. You know, I think that if Washington gives Sacramento some picks, maybe some Kelly Oubre, some Gortat, I don't know, and like some picks, they might be able to get them off their hands. But I don't even know if they could afford them, to be honest with you. I don't know what the price is. And I just don't know how they could. They probably would have to unload, like, Bradley Beal's contract. They would probably have to unload Bradley Beal, to be honest with you. Or choose not to pay Otto Porter next year, which I don't know if that's smart because Porter's a two-way player. Anyway, all right, enough about Boogie. Yeah, play him if you want. I just don't know if you need to when you have Harden and AD who are coming with fresh legs. And Russ with fresh legs, frankly. So I don't know if you need to play him, but yeah, play him. It's just there's better situations. All right, fantasy grout, mid-price guys in the 5 to 8K range that you're going to fill in around your studs. At point guard, he's not actually in the range, technically. He's 8'3", but it's Damian Lillard. You like the matchup with Kemba. He got the best of Kemba in the past. He's put up like 41 FD points on him. He didn't play in the last game against Charlotte. He was out. And Kemba underperformed. He does that on the road. You know, like he's on the road here. Kemba just underperformed against Portland. And he's also on the road. So, like, those two kinds of things combined, they're both the same price. I'm going to take Dame at home. You know, he's always a little bit scary to me. But this is a good price point for Damian Lillard. You know, below 8.5, he's kind of in play. Above 40 points, you'll take it. And that's not crazy for Damian Lillard. You know, he hasn't really flexed his ceiling recently. You know, he had that nice game against Golden State. I think it was against Golden State. No, it was against Memphis. I'm sorry. It was against Memphis. He had 44. You know, he hasn't really shown off that ceiling, but we do know he has a ceiling. We know he's got like a, you know, 50-point ceiling for sure. You know, and this isn't a floor game for him. This is a competitive game. This is a game where they're going to need him to score. This isn't a blowout. This is going to be a back and forth. Charlotte has let teams stay in all of their games. So I like Dame to get his full minutes, 36-plus minutes. Good matchup with Kemba. You know, competitive back and forth. So I think Lillard's in a good spot here for sure. At shooting guard, you've got three different guys actually in this tier. In price order, it is Batum, Bradley Beal, and then Lou Williams. You know, 7'3", 7K, and then 6'2". They're all kind of in plus situations, to be completely honest with you. You know, let's start at the bottom with Lou. Lou is in the must-score situation, okay? Lakers he has to score. He takes on that massive offensive workload in the second unit. He went for 41 last time against Denver. You know, you don't love the minutes because you're never really going to get more than 26 minutes on that second unit. But he's got a 35% usage rate there. Like, he just takes all the shots when he goes in the game for those, you know, for those 6-8 minute stretches. We definitely, though, like to attack the shooting guard against the Knicks. So Beal is in play against the Knicks. No question. He had a poor game last time against the Knicks. You know, and a lot of people were on him. You know, and you don't love his floor because if he's cold, his floor is very, very clear. It's like 12 points. But, you know, Beal is a great play. You know, Beal is a 40-point ceiling. Beal is like, you know, kind of profiles like Devin Booker a little bit to me. Like, he's going to get his buckets up. He's going to take his shots. He's going to make, you know, get his attempts. He'll do a little bit more than Booker, too. He'll rebound. He actually plays defense. So, you know, you don't mind Bradley Beal at all. And then Batum is going to get CJ McCollum defense, which McCollum is just, I just don't see a situation in which McCollum can guard. You know, Portland's really pretty bad against backcourt. And a little bit of narrative street here, right? Batum going back to his old team. Batum priced up a little bit at 7-3, but, you know, okay. I mean, he's kind of one of those guys, like, for cash games, Batum is like, he's going to get you probably 35 plus points in this situation. Plus matchup, he does so much away from scoring that you feel safe with Nick Batum. It's like a blankie, a French blanket. I don't know about that one. I'm not really sure that one should stick around. Nick Batum, the French blanket. I'm going to take a break for a second. That break was sponsored by Sierra Nevada. It's kind of late. I'm not recording this in the morning, so it's acceptable. But if I was drinking in the morning, I don't think that you guys would stop listening. You just maybe would, you know, write me a note of support. Sean, it's early. Stop drinking, man. At small forward, it's Gallo, 7K. It's kind of crazy to see Danilo Gallinari at 7K, but whatever. You love the pace. You love the production here. It's really attractive. Wilson Chandler with the neck soreness. I don't know. I mean, it's really helped Gallo. Add the Nikola Jokic out. Huge minutes bump. A little bump in usage and production. But really, like, we haven't seen a large enough sample size. You know, we just saw last game against Phoenix. And, like, the Phoenix game profile is very similar to the Lakers game. High pace, high total. You know, and Gallo crushed. I wish he was still at that price below 7K. You know, this is kind of his ceiling price. You know, how often does Danilo Gallinari go for 35 FD points? He does sometimes, definitely better priced at 6K. But, you know, the minutes are there. He definitely has some of the most secure rotational minutes beyond the point guard position with Jameer Nelson. That on the Nuggets, you know, he doesn't suffer like the Gary Harris, Barton treatment. He doesn't deal with like the Fried Jokic confusion. He definitely gets some good minutes, especially with Chandler kind of nursing the neck. I think that Gallo is in a good spot here against the Lakers. And then at power forward, it's his buddy, Kenneth Fareed, who's now 6'6". It's such an amazing matchup and such a terrible price. But we do know that Kenneth Fareed has been dunking since a youngin'. Please watch that video. I will repost it tomorrow since Kenneth Fareed is in play. One of the best situations of the night, though. I mean, like, you gotta lock him in. Amazing matchup with the Lakers front court, who are just absolutely terrible front court. Brutal against the power forward. Julius Randle is really looking like a bust, like just as a basketball player. Like, he just doesn't try very hard and he's not that good. You know, and the reality is that we thought maybe, okay, Jokic is out. Maybe it's Nurkic time. Nope. Jokic gets 10 minutes. He scores 6 fantasy points. They would rather play the small ball 4-5 with Fareed there. as, you know, the 4/5 kind of, and maybe go with, you know, Chandler and Gallo, or Gallo and Gary Harris and Will Barton. Like, they would much rather play that fast small ball lineup than leave Nurkic out on the floor. So Fareed it is. He put up 32 last game against the Lakers, and that was with Jokic on the floor. I really feel like he got a lock Fareed in tomorrow night. He's going to be chalky for sure. People are on him, no question. But he's a great play. At center, center is kind of gross. I mean, in this mid-tier, you've got three guys that are, you know, viable options if they're in decent situations, and that's Plumlee, Steven Adams, and then Jonas Valanciunas. And, like, Plumlee's situation is decent, and Valanciunas' situation is pretty decent as well. Like, you definitely feel comfortable targeting this second unit front court against, you know, the Hornets. Like, Plumlee against Spencer Hawes, that's a plus matchup for Plumlee. Like, and he's actually been getting a lot of minutes, like 32, 34 minutes recently. He's been wicked consistent. He doesn't have a game below 30 points in the last five. He's a nice option in the mid-tier. Steven Adams is going to get the Spurs treatment, and I don't know. Steven Adams is not a plus matchup for Steve. I'm a little bit nervous about him. He totally disappeared in what should have been a good matchup against the Cavs and Tristan Thompson, and he just didn't do anything. So I kind of got to wait and see. I'm going to wait and see with Steve. I love playing Steven Adams, but I want to play him in the right situation. I think Valanciunas is in play only because you love targeting centers against the Pels. But the reality is like, Valanciunas doesn't have a really great ceiling because Valanciunas only plays 28 minutes. And he is kind of limited in what he can do. And I don't know. The thing that I'm worried about with Valanciunas, honestly, is whether or not he's going to stay on the court defensively. Like, he can't guard Anthony Davis. And so, like, if he's going to get less than his normal 28 minutes, then I don't really see a reason to play a guy who doesn't even have a ceiling that's beyond, like, 33 points. I mean, price is nice, but, like, I'm not going to play Valanciunas unless it just falls to me. Like, I love the rest of my lineup, and it's like, oh, I have $5,800 left. Okay, Valanciunas it is. I'm just not doing that. So, anyway, that's kind of the Valanciunas situation for me. I think you go Plumlee in the mid-tier, but honestly, pay down at center. It's just kind of one of those nights. Pay down. I mean, you could pay Boogie for sure, but, like, otherwise, pay down. Just pay down. There's a couple values that are pretty intriguing. At point guard, you have a couple guys in play. Brandon Jennings will be chalky. He's 5'6". There's just kind of like, I hate to say this, it's almost like reaching ceiling price for Brandon Jennings. But, you know, Rose is out. It's not a great matchup with John Wall, though. John Wall can defend if he wants to. I don't know if he'll want to defend Brandon Jennings, but he can. He can play defense. Patrick Beverley is at 5'3". That's interesting against a banged-up Sacramento team, who actually is pretty good against the point guard, pretty reasonable against the point guard, not terrible. You know, just because I think they have a pretty good rotation with Collison and Lawson, who are pretty good point guard defenders, you know. And so Beverley kind of in play just because his price is down. And then you've got two nice spots for Jameer Nelson and Jordan Clarkson, who are both 5'1". And if Moutier and Russell sit, then it is lock and load Nelson Clarkson. It's just like two best situations for point guards. You know, they're the backup point guards, so they're the cheaper version. They've proven that they can handle 30 minutes and they can do decent fantasy things with 30 minutes. So they get 30 minutes, they get you 30 points. And they're playing each other, and it's just like both of them play kind of terrible team defense against the point guard. So great fire it up. If there is no Russell and no Moutier, then you got to fire up Jameer Nelson and Jordan Clarkson. And I'm serious when I say both. Like, just they're the cheapest, high quality value options. Fire up both and then just figure out the rest of it. At shooting guard, some interesting choices. Nick Young in play, obviously, at 3,900. You know, he gets some production if he gets hot. You know, he's kind of scoring dependent. But, you know, we've been playing these, like, cheap shooting guards all week. Everybody has had exposure to them. So you kind of know what the story is with a cheap shooting guard. You know the risk. You know the upside. You know more or less where you're going to end up. You're going to end up somewhere in the 20-point range. You just hope that it's not, like, 16. You know, you hope it's, like, 24. Because that's the difference with one of these guys between, you know, exceeding value and not making value. And then Gary Harris is super interesting. He seems to be getting his minutes back. He's at 5K. He bounced back in a major way in the Phoenix game after that injury, and he had kind of been tabled, and I was kind of off of him. In the second leg of the Phoenix series, he played really well, got 30 minutes, threw down a freaking gnarly dunk. I don't know if anybody saw that, but he went baseline, he goes under the hoop, wraps it around, throws it over the back of his head. Dude's athletic, man. Love Gary Harris. So I'm good with Gary Harris at 5K. I think, you know, great matchup against the Lakers backcourt. So he's priced really well too. And then in small forward, you've got two interesting options kind of on opposite sides of the ball. Evan Turner and Michael Kidd-Gilchrist. MKG is 5'5", and Turner's 4'8". Turner's taking the starting job because he plays defense. Mo Harkless doesn't. And Turner does nice things with that, you know, starting role. He's been getting minutes. He's been putting up points, you know, above 25 points in the last two when he started. Above 25 points in two of the last four. He had 30 against Golden State. You know, that was a blowout. But, sorry. Turner's not bad. Turner's not bad. And nor is MKG. You know, they profile very similarly. They're starters. They're defense-driven starters who are going to get 30 minutes, and they do more than just score. MKG is a little bit more consistent with, you know, his production than Evan Turner, but, you know, they're both in play for sure. You could do worse for cash games. They feel pretty safe. They have a kind of a nice, you know, 15 point floor for value guys. And then I think what's interesting, I think Sam Dekker is interesting. I really like Sam Dekker. If we get news that any, I don't care who the Hornet or who the Rockets player is that's sitting, but if one of the Rockets players is sitting, I think you got to play him. He gets 25 minutes about a game, you know, and he gets more than that if anybody is sitting. And when he gets more than that, he really, really, really does well. He, you know, he's priced at 4K, so. You know, it's kind of an interesting play if you really are a believer that Houston is going to blow them out, which is not unreasonable, guys. Like, I hate to say it. It's not crazy talk. I feel like I'm talking crazy here. Sacramento is not going to be able to guard James Harden tomorrow night. They're going to be so tired. So, you know, Sam Dekker is in play, I think. If you want to, not in cash, but in tournaments, you know, I don't know. If he gets you 16 points, fine, he's 4X. But if he gets you 25 points, 26, 27, because he gets those extra blowout minutes, then we're talking on Wisconsin, baby. All right, and power forward, Patrick Patterson is in play, 3'9". He's kind of taken his job back over there in Toronto. Getting his minutes back. Excuse me. Sorry, guys. He's getting his minutes back for sure in Toronto. Really playing pretty solidly, like getting rebounds and stuff like that. You know, he should be the starter there. I don't really think that they have any way that they can play anybody else at that four spot. So Patterson's in play for sure at 3-9. That's a really nice value play there, especially if you know he's going to get 30 minutes. At center, you have two interesting options. You have Ivaka Zubak, center for the Lakers. He's been getting huge minutes lately, and he's been doing really good things. He had 25 FD points in both of the last two games. You know, I think he's like kind of a bright spot for the Lakers right now. And then Spencer Hall is 4-9. He should play the other Plumlee. Oh my gosh, it's Plumlee Fest, you guys. Oh no, that's Zeller. Sorry. It's the other white, I have a brother in the NBA guy, Cody Zeller. All right. Let's go on to the lineup lock. This is where I'm going to build you guys a cash core of players. My hope is that you pivot off of them, you make some changes, you go into guys that you feel comfortable. Use the advice to build your own lineup. All right. At point guard, we are starting off with Damian Lillard, 8-3, and Jameer Nelson at 5-1. I just think that Moutier is less likely to play, so I'm going to go with Nelson first. Shooting guard is James Harden and Gary Harris. Small forward, I've got Carmelo and MKG. And then at power forward, I've got Kenneth Faried and Patrick Patterson. And then at center is another value guy that I didn't talk about, but he gets the biggest, that one of the biggest usage bumps and like fantasy production bumps goes to Noah when guys are off the court, like when Porzingis is off the court or when, and Noah had has been getting more minutes lately, didn't play last time against Washington. He was out with that ankle. But I think, you know, if we know that Noah's going to play and he's not, he's not injured, he's interesting. The other way to do this lineup, guys, so there's another way to do this, and it just changes your small forward and your center. So if you go down to Zubac, right, you go to Zubac, and then you can get on to Carmelo and Carmelo. You can't fit in Carmelo and Gallo. Like, I've tried that a couple different ways. But there's a way. I'm not going to stall. You can get with some combination of Evan Turner and MKG, you can upgrade your shooting guard position off Gary Harris. I just don't feel like there's any reason to get off Gary Harris in this situation at 5K. He's definitely one of the best values on the board. You know, for a guy who could go for 30, basically, you're aiming for 30 right there. That's 6X for him. I'm like, you're just as likely to get 30 out of Beal or Lou Williams, right? And why spend that extra $1,000 to do that? So that's where we're at. Use the lineup, pivot, make your changes, make your own lineups. Good luck in your contest tonight, guys. We got a great interview coming up on tomorrow's show, so don't miss that. I've got Amir from DFS Lineups, _ DFS Lineups. Tune in for that for sure. It's going to be an absolutely excellent show, and good luck in your contest tonight.